Well, good morning. So glad that you're here. I hope you've had a great week. My goodness sakes, what an incredible weekend it is. And so I appreciate you giving us a part of your weekend to come and worship together with us. I've got a lot I want to share today, so I'm going to jump right in this. So let me open with prayer. Father, God, we just thank you and praise you for your faithfulness in our life. And we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And Lord, I'm thankful, as we've already said, for all that you're doing here at Northview and pray that it would continue. But God, I'm also thankful, God, for the way that you're blessing churches all throughout this community. And we pray that that would just continue. I pray specifically today for Traders Point Christian Church. What an incredible congregation they are. And I thank you for their pastor, Aaron Brockett, and for his friendship. And I pray that we could link arms together to just continue to make a difference throughout this community. And now, God, as we continue in our series and dive into this whole area of what kids need from adults, I pray that you would, God, just help all of us to be open to the idea of change in our life, open to the idea that you may want to do more than what we've ever recognized before. So God, I just pray, open up our ears that we might hear you today. We love you and praise you. We just ask it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Okay, raise your hand if you had a parent. Okay, like that's almost everybody in here. I would think that would be the case. And, you know, I don't know if you're like me or not, but I kind of thought they knew what they were doing. You know what I mean? When they raised me. I guess I thought that maybe they had this manual that they used, this parent manual that taught them how to be parents. And then I became a parent and I realized they had no idea what they were doing. And it's kind of the same for you and for me, isn't it? So how many of you now are parents? Let me see your hands. Well, just about as many of you are in the room. I think all of us would agree that parenting is very difficult. I mean, if it was going to be easy to raise kids, it never would have started with something called labor. And so we know that parenting is extremely difficult. It's not for the faint of heart to parent. In fact, if you're a single parent that's here, let me just say kudos to you, hats off to you. I don't think there is a more difficult job than a single parent trying to raise kids by yourself. And so that's really hard. That's another stage that people oftentimes find themselves in. Then there's also empty nesters. You know, we were out with a couple just 2 weeks ago, and they're getting ready to be empty nesters. And he said to me, he said, "So Steve, how long did it take before you felt like you got over the loss of your kids being gone as an empty nester?" I said, "About 6 days." Now he laughed and he said, "Gosh, you didn't even quite make it a week." And I said, "No, not quite." But in all seriousness, I love my kids. I love to be with my kids. I love to spend time with them. But I think you'll find as you get near this point of empty nester, that it, as they become adults, it's really difficult for several adults to live under the same roof. So it's just hard. And so you get to this point where you're like, you're ready for them to go out on their own. And then there's another group of you here, and there's a couple names that you might be familiar. Some are called rebound parents, but a more familiar name might be boomerang kids. And what that is that's where you send your kids out, and they come back. You didn't see that coming, did you? They come back to live with you again. Yeah, in fact, I was looking it up. I Googled it here yesterday to get some more information on it. And listen to this. It said that 1 out of 5 adults in their 20s and 30s has gone back home to live with their parents. Now, wrap your brain around that one in our society. 1 out of 5 adults in their 20s and 30s has gone back home to live with their parents. I know it's got to be true. I read it on the internet. But if it is true, it's amazing where our culture and where our society seems to be going. Well, there's another group of you in this room. You don't have kids. You don't want kids. You don't like kids. You don't like to be near kids. If you go in a restaurant and they sit you down by kids, you get up and move to another table. But seriously, friends, even if you don't have kids, all of our lives are going to intersect with kids at one time or another. It's true. Well, I heard a message a couple years ago by a man by the name of Doug Fields, and Doug was talking about 10 things that he felt like kids needed from adults, and I thought he was right on. And so I thought, someday I'm going to share those points because I think it is so true. Doug has been a youth pastor for over 30 years and written over 50 books. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about We're going to look at these 10 things that we need to do as parents. But please know this. This is not just for parents. So if you're not a parent, if you're a grandparent, you know, there's a tendency to just kind of sit back and say, this doesn't have anything to do with me. I put in my time. I did my thing. It's not me. But that's not true. It's just as much for you. I believe as grandparents, we have a responsibility to invest in the lives of our kids as well. And God has put them into our lives for a purpose. If you're an aunt or an uncle, I believe that you have a responsibility as well. You may only be a teacher or coach in their life. But I'm telling you, it's important that you recognize the investment, the influence that you can have on a child. Now, I don't claim to be an expert at raising children. Well, I mean, I used to be an expert, and then I had kids. And so I'm no longer an expert. I'm a veteran, if you will, because I've raised two children. I have two grown children. Most of you know that. Ryan is 36 years old, and Jenny is 34 years old, and both are doing remarkably well in the state prison system. Now, if you're raising children or if you hope to have kids one day, the first thing you should do is pull out your notes. So if you haven't pulled out your notes this morning, please reach in there in your worship guide and pull these out. And you say, Steve, I forgot to grab a worship guide coming in. Then find a blank piece of paper. Because seriously, I think there will be a time in your life that these points will be beneficial to you that we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. So seriously, one day, the first thing you should do, besides pull your notes out, is you need to keep the end in mind. Now, friends, this may be the most important thing you hear today. You need to keep the end in mind. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that, friends, is what do you hope for your kids when they leave home? When your kids turn 18, when they go off to college, what do you hope for them? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever talked about it with, as a couple? Do you talk about that? What characteristics do you hope to see in your kids? Because I would say to you, friends, most parents are not doing this today. Most parents never talk about it. They never give it a thought. You know, they sent their kids off. They said, well, you know, I loved my kids. I raised my kids right. But they never really talk about the end goal. You know, you wouldn't do that with a business. If you were starting up a business, you would want to write down all of your goals, all the things that you hope to achieve, all the things that you want to get out of this particular business, all the things that you need to do to get your goals. And yet, the most important thing that you've been entrusted with, please hear me on this, the most important thing that you've been entrusted with by God is your children. You have a responsibility to raise those kids in the admonition of the Lord. So why in the world would you not establish goals for what you want to see take place in the lives of your kids? So it's important that you start with the end in mind. And I think that's what the psalmist is saying in Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. It says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, why is that important? Because when it comes to our kids, time just flies. When it comes to our kids, time just absolutely flies. Now, those of you that are in your 20s and 30s and still have kids, I know you hear this all the time and you kind of are tired of hearing it. Can I just tell you from one that's a veteran, it is so true. I mean, it just feels like yesterday that Jenny was on the floor playing with her dolls, and the next thing I knew, she's getting her driver's license, and the next thing I knew, she was graduating from college. And I look at that now and I'm like, how did that happen? How did that possibly go by so fast in my life? And so it's important that we understand that we make an investment into their lives every single week of their life. You know, I heard there was a lot of emotional dads at our father-daughter purity ball just a couple weeks ago here at Carmel. I think we've got some pictures up there that you can see of that. So I'm so pumped about this. It's one of the things that we do that I'm so proud of that Northview offers for parents. We had 83 couples, fathers and their 7th to 12th grade girls. And in some cases, there wasn't dads, and so their grandpas brought them. In some cases, there wasn't grandpas and uncles. And there was a couple cases, I think, where they didn't have any male role model in their life. And so a couple guys from the church stepped up and took them. But they took these girls, they dressed up, took these girls to the purity ball. And these dads wrote a letter to the little girl on how they were committed to fight for their purity. It is a very, very cool thing that we're doing here at Northview, and I'm still hearing stories about this. Let me say this to you again. It is not our responsibility as a church. It is not the teacher's responsibility. The responsibility to raise these kids in the admonition of the Lord has been given to you, moms. It's been given to you, dads. But as a church, we want to come alongside you. We want to help give you the tools that you need to succeed in this big task that you've been given. So whatever we can do to help you, we certainly want to do. Now I want you, if you would, just a minute, pull out this family framework that was in your worship guide today. Would you do that? Just pull it out for a second. And you can take this home and you can read about this a little bit more on your own. But this is just a part of the efforts that we're making to come alongside you, to support you in what God's called you to do. And I don't know whether you've seen it or not. I think we have a picture of it. But when you come in the children's area, there's a new display that's gone up for this framework, this family framework. And it's got some things that'll interest the kids. But it's intentional. And we're going to put this in all of our campuses because we want it to be a reminder to parents. And so they brought up here for me these marbles, which really is the point of the picture you saw, just to make the point. And that is this first jar of marbles here. Each one of these marbles represents 1 week of your child's life at home. In other words, between the ages of birth and 18, the years that you have responsibility for them, every marble represents 1 week. So there's 936 marbles in this first jar. The second jar, this is by the time, now think about this, this is by the time your child reaches the third grade, it's now dropped to 468 marbles, or 468 weeks you have left to invest in their life. You drop down to this third jar of marbles, and this is where they enter into high school. You have 208 marbles left, 208 weeks left to invest in your child's life. And if that doesn't freak you out, this last jar is when they turn 16. When your son or your daughter gets their driver's license, you only have 100 weeks left. 100 weeks left to invest in the life of your child. Now, I'm not trying to depress you. I'm not trying to discourage you. We're just trying to use a visual to remind you how important it is that you not take for granted the gift that God's given you, that you not take for granted the responsibility that you have to pour into your children. It's easy to blow off a week, isn't it? It's easy to think, you know what, you know, we've got so much going on in our life, I haven't even given my kids a thought for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Well, that's 2 or 3 marbles gone out of the jar. That's why, as parents, understand there's a lot of priorities, there's a lot of things that you're going to do in your life, but the most important thing that you've been entrusted with is investing in your kids, raising your kids. Now, again, take this home and look at it, but it says our three-part plan is designed to help you make the most of every moment. Part one is the home. It says parents are the main spiritual influences in the life of a child. God entrusts parents to raise their children to know the Lord, experience His love, and follow His commands. This is the greatest responsibility God will ever give to humans. We encourage parents to use this Parent Q app. So this is an app that you can download on your phone for like $1.99. $1.99. So it's a cheap little app that will give you, it'll help facilitate spiritual conversations in your home. So I'd encourage you to download that app. Then part two, it says the church supports the spiritual development of a child by providing biblical teaching, safe and fun environments, and godly volunteers. Our family ministry consists of Northview Kids and Northview Students. These ministries share a vision of building generations that love God and live out their faith. And you can look at the different things that we offer there. And then the final is part three, family framework. The family framework is a strategic path of age-appropriate milestones, allowing each Northview family to see the next step in the parenting journey. And so there's different milestones, different things that you can do that, again, will come alongside you and support you in this effort to raise your kids. So again, friends, again, you have to start with the end in mind. What is that for you? What character qualities are you looking for when you send your kids out of the home? Now, I want to give you 5 of them. You don't have to use these 5 at all. You can use whatever ones you want, but I want to give you 5 that are talked about in Scripture. And at the end of your season of parenting, wouldn't it be good to know that your kids had a sense of these character qualities? Wouldn't it be good to know, for instance, in your notes, that your kids had a sense of confidence? Now, I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about being puffed up with pride. I'm talking about confidence that they know who they are because they know whose they are. In other words, they know their identity in Christ. Second, wouldn't it be good to know that your kids had character? Character here is a moral compass that brings honesty, courage, and integrity. In other words, they're respected and they have a good reputation. Wouldn't it be good to know that your kids have convictions? Every one of us have convictions, or in other words, what it is that we believe, our value system. If you're a believer, hear me please, if you're a believer, then I would think you would want your child to have convictions of a biblical worldview. Now, I know you hear me talk about this a lot, and I have strong feelings about this, but the one concern I have, the biggest concern I have about the church world in America today is that we're losing sight of a biblical worldview. We profess to be followers of Christ, we profess to be believers, but we have no clue what this word says, what the scriptures say. You cannot have a biblical worldview unless you open this up and read it. Otherwise, you're going to pick up another worldview. You're going to pick up a hodgepodge of a lot of different worldviews that you'll base your value system on. But God has given us an instruction manual to guide and to lead us. And so parents, you being a believer, don't you want your kids to have that same worldview? And so in order to do so, you need to start when they're young. Moms and dads, your kids should see you open this book and read it. I mean, what better example than to see mom or dad sitting off by themselves reading the scripture? And moms and dads, you should read the Bible stories to your kids. Teach them the Bible stories of the Old Testament. Teach them the writings of the New Testament. Memorize scripture with them. I mean, what better habit to get into? What better discipline to get into than helping your kids to memorize scripture? Not only are they learning scripture, but you'll learn it right along with them. So again, one great character quality is conviction. And wouldn't it be great to send your kids out with compassion, knowing that they care about those that are down and out? We want our kids to have love and concern for people that are struggling, for people that are hurting. And then wouldn't it be good to send our kids out competent? You know what? We want our kids to do more than just take up space. We want them to thrive. We want them to make a difference with their life. And I would think you would want them fulfilling God's purpose for their life. You do recognize, I hope, as a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, that not only does God have a plan for you, but God has a plan for your son. God has a plan for your daughter. And we want them to be competent in that, to understand what God's purposes are. Now again, friends, you don't have to use these five qualities, but I'm just saying, if you don't have an end game in mind, these are really good character qualities. So please consider it. Talk about as a mother and father, talk about the possibility of this being your goal that you're establishing for your children. Listen, friends, when you have an end in mind, then you become more intentional with the parenting process. Can't you see how much better it is to be intentional rather than reactional? But friends, let me say this. No matter how intentional, no matter how well planned you are, when it's all said and done, every one of us are going to have regrets because none of us are perfect parents. None of us. You don't want to put that on yourself. You don't want to try to strap yourself with that responsibility to say, I have to be perfect, because none of us are perfect. You know, Sandy and I, we really wanted to be good parents. I mean, seriously, we got several books that we read when our kids were growing up, and then we would talk about it, and we would talk about our discipline strategy to make sure that we were on the same page with each other. We would talk those things through, because when it was all said and done, we had goals for our kids when we sent them off. And I would tell you that when we did send them off to college, we believed we had done a pretty good job. We believed that the things that we had hoped for, we saw in their lives, and so we felt pretty good about it. But I can tell you that as I look back on that time, I do have a few regrets. I would tell you, if I were being transparent and honest, that I worked too much at times. I would tell you that I wasn't always there for maybe some school events that I should have been there for. I would tell you that there were times I came home tired and I was impatient with them. I would tell you that there were times they wanted to talk, but I was too tired to listen. Should I go on? Because I can. I can go on and on with different things that I regret. So I'm just saying to you, friends, please hear and understand that there are no perfect parents. And no matter how well planned you are, you're going to make mistakes. But we can still do some of these things that will help us to improve, that will help us to be better parents raising our kids. Okay. So for the rest of this time today that we have left and over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to give you what those 10 points are that I hope you're going to write down, what kids need from their parents. Here's number one. Number one is strong belief. Strong belief. Now, obviously, our kids need to know that we believe in them. Obviously, they need to know that mom and dad, they believe in us, they have our back, they love us. They need to know all those things, but that's not at all what I'm saying here. Hear me on this. That's not at all what I'm saying. When I'm talking about a strong belief, what I'm talking about is you have to have, as a parent, listen to me, you have to have a strong belief in your role as a parent. Now, these are in no particular order, but I would have to say I think number one is number one. You got to get this or you're not going to get the other 9 points. You have to believe in your importance as a parent, because the culture is trying to downplay that. The society that we live in today is trying to downplay that, and you cannot listen to that. Your role is mission critical to God's purposes and plans being fulfilled in your kid's life. Now, I know that today we talk about how our kids are influenced by so many different things. We talk about how they're influenced by their friends, and they're influenced by television. They're influenced by video games. They're influenced by athletes. They're influenced by just a whole lot of different things, and that's certainly true. But studies are still showing, without a doubt, by far, parents are still the most important influence in a child's life, by far. There's not even a close second. So regardless what you're hearing, that's what the studies are still showing. You're still the number one influence in your kid's life. And you have to remember, parents, hear me, that your kids are watching everything you do. In fact, somebody said that children are natural copycats. They act like their parents in spite of every effort to teach them good manners. And grandparents, let me say it to you one more time. Please don't underestimate your role. Please don't underestimate your value in your grandkids' lives. I know that some of you would push back and say, you know, Steve, we don't have the blessing of having our grandkids near us. They live clear across country. You know what? You still can be an influence on their life clear across country. You can Skype with them. You can email them. You can write them notes. You can send them things. You can constantly be an encourager to them. You can do things that's going to have a positive influence on their life. Your voice matters in your grandkids' life. What you do contributes to the 5 character qualities being established in them. And parents, listen to me. As hard as this is to believe, your kids want you to be their hero. Now, I know there are some of you right in the middle of this, and you're like, yeah, right. My kids want me to be their hero? I don't think so. And there are even some kids that are hearing me and saying, I don't want my parents to be my hero. But the truth of the matter is that is how we're wired. That is how children are wired. And moms and dads, whether you see it now or not, there may be a whole lot of stuff that's muddied that up. Your kids want you to be their hero. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, he took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Jesus says, you know what, when you welcome this child, when you embrace your responsibility of raising this child, you welcome Jesus. That, my friends, is a very high calling. The Bible tells us very clearly that you not, friends, so that you not miss the point of this entire series, the Bible makes this very clear. The children are indeed a gift from God, and he's entrusted you with that gift. In Psalms chapter 127, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. So here we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe has said, I'm going to entrust you with the life of this son, with the life of this daughter. And I want you to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. I want you to raise them. And you know, we have... And then as parents, we don't always get that. And twice a year, we have baby dedications where we have parents lined across this entire platform, and they're standing in front of their family, in front of their friends. They're standing in front of God himself, and they're saying, we are committing to raise our children in the admonition of the Lord. They're making a covenant with God, and God doesn't take that lightly, because that's the role he wants all of us to play. Again, if I don't achieve anything else at all, through these 3 weeks, it's that you get a hold of number one, a strong belief in the importance of your role as a parent in their life. Dads, listen to me on that. Here's a thought, dads. What if you put the value of your kids higher in your life than the value of your paycheck? Now, I know, dads, some of you quickly push back and say, well, come on, Steve, I do. Really? I hope that you do. Really, I do. Because, men, we often find our identity in what we do for a living. And if you don't believe in the value of being a parent as a priority, you won't value your role as a parent. And the consequences of your unbelief will wound your child. I have a concern today, and I'm going to express it. You may or may not agree with me, and that's fine. But I'm going to express some strong feelings I have. And that is that the role of the father is being undermined in our culture today to the point I think it's frightening. Hear me on this. You cannot turn on the television. You cannot watch a sitcom. You cannot watch a movie anymore where a dad's role is not being undermined. They value the role of the mother, as we should. The mother has a very important role in that house. But they make the father out to look like a buffoon. The mother is the wise one in the home. The kids are even smarter than dad. The dog is even made to be smarter than dad. And dad is this buffoon that doesn't have a clue of what's going on. That is a lie. That is a lie, I believe, straight from the pits of hell. Because Jesus said to us that the thief, talking about Satan, is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is going to do everything he possibly can to destroy the family. Because he knows if he can destroy the family, he's going to destroy the church. And I believe that's the way he's trying to cripple the church in America. He's trying to divide and destroy the family unit. And dads, if we buy into that lie, we'll respond accordingly. If we buy into the lie and believe that our role is not important, that, you know what, mom, you know, my wife, she takes care of their mother, she takes care of the family and all of that, and I just bring in the income. Dads, that's not your only responsibility. The Bible makes it very clear, the scripture makes it very clear that a dad's responsibility is to be the spiritual leader of the home. Now, dads, you may sit back and say, you know what, Steve, I appreciate what you're saying, but you don't know, my wife, she knows the Bible inside and out. She's memorized it from cover to cover. That's all good and fine. It doesn't let you off the hook. You're still the spiritual leader of the home according to God. Now, and you say, well, I just don't know it like she does. Well, then learn it. Open it up. Start to read it. Start to memorize it. Start to apply it in your lives. It doesn't matter. You still have that role. So, dads, what I'm wanting you to see more than anything else today is to understand, I don't care what the culture tells you. I don't care what the culture is saying. The Word of God makes it clear. You're the spiritual leader of the home. It makes it clear that your role matters in the life of these kids. It's an important role that you play. The season of parenting requires your very best effort, dads. Okay, so number one, strong belief. Number two is ongoing affection. Now, note here, I said ongoing affection. You can't say, well, you know what? I gave him a hug on his birthday. What's he want? This is something that needs to happen frequently. It's something that needs to happen continuously. Now, ladies, honestly, you're so much better at this than we are as guys. I know that's true. God just wired us differently. We talked about this last week in the marriage. You know, men and women, God made us differently for a reason, for a purpose. There's different roles that we play. We're equal in God's eyes, but there's just different roles that we play. And you women tend to be, most times, the nurturer. And kids, we grow up knowing that's truth. The mom is the nurturer. And so, you know, we're out and we skin our knee. You don't hear many kids running in the house screaming out for daddy. They come running in the house screaming out for mommy because they know mommy's the one that's going to pick them up. She's going to hold them. She's going to cuddle with them. And they know that. Now, so we ask the question, why is that? Because dads don't care. Now, I'm being facetious here. I'm being a little bit kidding. But really, they don't care as much as mom does. I mean, you think I'm exaggerating on this, guys. Think with me, and you know this is true. Johnny comes in and he's broke his finger and it's just hanging there. What do we say? Shake it off, Johnny. You'll be okay, buddy. Just shake it off. Or in the middle of the night, you know, you feel all of a sudden you're about to lose it all. And so you run into the bathroom and you know you're sick because you stick your head down in a toilet and you lose it all. Your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it all just comes rising up. And within seconds, you don't know how it happened, but your mother is right there holding your shoulders, wiping your brow, brushing your hair, telling you it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Did you ever wonder where dad was? I didn't think about it until I became a dad. And now I know where he was. He was in bed asleep. Like I was. So I am being facetious with some of this, but guys, please hear me. I'm just saying to you, it's so important that dads rise up and say enough's enough. I don't care about the lies of the culture. I don't care what the culture says. My role is to be the spiritual leader of the home. My role is important in the life of my kids. It's not just my wife's responsibility. It is my responsibility. And if you're, I know if you're divorced and you're living apart from your kids, that makes it more difficult, but that just means you need to try harder. That means you just need to work and put even more effort to make up for the times that you're not able to be there. Kids, listen, dads, because it's not as natural for us, we just need to work at it. Kids need meaningful touch. James Dobson, family psychologist, used to say that kids need 10 meaningful touches a day for a healthy self-esteem. And what does that mean? That means meaningful touches. It could be an arm around their shoulder. It could be holding their hand. It could be a kiss. It could be a hug. It could be just patting them on the back, you know, slapping them on the knee. It doesn't matter. They just need that meaningful touch. I think we really don't get how much that communicates to our children when we give them meaningful touches. Guys, if you can't learn, please hear me, guys, if you can't learn to express your emotions to your kids in a healthy way, you're going to wound them. Your boys will become emotionally distant and will have a hard time knowing how to express themselves to their spouse and to their children. Because why? Because it's learned behavior. If you're not expressing it to your kids, if there's not meaningful touch to your kids, then guess what? Your kids, your boys will grow up and they're not going to know how to give meaningful touch to their kids. It just perpetuates itself. It just continues on from generation to generation. And so that's why you have to break this in your home. You have to say, you know what? It's going to stop right here. My kids are going to know that I love them. My kids are going to have meaningful touch in appropriate ways. They're going to know that they matter to me, that they're significant to me. Your girls may become sexually promiscuous, not 100% of the time, but hear me on this. A large percentage of promiscuous teens point back to an absent or a non-affectionate father. So again, please don't pay attention to the culture. Your role is vital. Your role is important. They need healthy affection by a male figure in their life, and if they're not getting it at home, they're going to find it somewhere else. Now, I know some of you would say, Steve, come on. That's easy for you to stand up there and say, but you have no idea what I've been through. You don't know me. You know, I'm not a feely-touchy type guy. It was not modeled to me, and so it's not who I am. Others of you would concur. You'd say, yeah, Steve, I was sexually abused as a child. So I've got a lot of hurdles in my life that you know nothing about. And you know what? I agree with all of that. There are 100 reasons why we don't show our kids affection. And I'm so sorry for those of you that went through a painful experience. I can't tell you how sorry I am. It was wrong that you went through that. It was wrong that you experienced it. But guys, somebody's got to stop it. Somebody's got to say, I'm going to draw the line in the sand. We're not going to continue to send this on to the next generation and the next generation. It's too important in the lives of my kids. And so I'm going to do whatever I need to do in my kids' life. If I need to get help, you say, I'm not going to see a counselor. See, that's foolishness. I'm not. Listen, is it not worth it for your kids' sake? Is it not worth it to get somebody to help you work through this for your kids' sake? Because guess what? You can rewrite the script. You can stop it today and rewrite the script of their life. It can be different with your kids. If you need to get help, please, guys, ladies, whoever we're talking about, get the help that you need so that you'll have healthy affection in your kids' life. And then for you parents of preteens or those that are in junior high, can I just say this? Pour it on. Pour the affection on. There is never a time they need it more than when they're in junior high, that 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grades. That's the time they don't understand the changes that are taking place in their body. Their bodies are changing physically. They're emotionally changing. They're going from a small child to all of a sudden a teen, and they don't get it all. And they may push you away and all of that. I get it, but you need to pour it on. I can remember I have these beautiful children that I loved on, these beautiful kids that I hugged. I love to have them sit on my lap and tickle them and all those kind of things. And then all of a sudden, one day I woke up, and I had this little angry aliens running around the house. And I'm like, Sandy, who are they? Where did my kids go? And so that's just the reality of the changes they're going to go through. But I'm just telling you, pour it on. You just give it. Now, let me say this. I'm not telling you to embarrass them in front of their peers. Please don't do that. It's hard enough. I mean, school is hard. You know, you've got all the teasing that goes on, the bullying that goes on, and all that junk that goes on. Don't make it more hard for your kids by being affectionate in front of their peers. Respect that. But at the same time, you're with your children a whole lot of times when none of their friends are around. In the morning, before they go off to school, you can hug and kiss them. When they come home from school, you can get up and hug and kiss them. Before they go to bed, you can get up and hug and kiss them. Find the times and the opportunities. You say, yeah, but they just pushed me away. You're bigger than them. You're stronger than them. Hug them. Now, there are some people that'll say, you know what? My kids pushed me away, and so if they don't want my love, they don't want my hugs, I'm not going to give them my hug. And I would just say, really? Who's the adult here? You've got to be the adult. Don't get your feelings hurt because your junior high student pushed you away. That's just a junior high student. Regardless that they're pushing you away, they need it. And again, you're bigger and stronger, so push in on them. You know, if you let their affection, listen to me on this. If you let their affection go away, it could go away for the rest of their teen years, and it may go away through their adult years as well. I told you a minute ago, my son's 36 and my daughter's 34, and I still hug and kiss them every time I see them. You say, well, Steve, do they like that? I don't know. I don't really care. Because here's the truth in that. I still want to be an influence in my adult children's life. And I want them to see and learn how important it is that even though they're adults, they still get that affection from me. And so therefore, I'm hoping that they learn when their kids grow up and are adults, that they'll continue to show affection to them because they learned it from the example of their mother and father. So again, just be affectionate with your family. Romans chapter 12, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. All right. So strong belief, ongoing affection. Number three is encouraging words. I mean, come on, we all need to hear encouraging words, don't we? Sure we do. You know, it's normal for kids to struggle a little bit with insecurity. I talked about that just a second ago. There's bullying that goes on. I would say I'm so thrilled that schools are really taking a stand against bullying today because it should have been happening for the last several decades, but it hasn't seemed to be. But now they're taking a greater stand, and I think that's important. It's really tough. Kids get teased a lot, and because of that, they feel a lot of insecurity in their life with all these changes that are taking place. And then they go to the movies or they go to television, and they see all these people that are supposed to be perfect, and they don't feel like they can live up to that. And so kids need a lot of reassurance. Kids need a lot of encouragement. Now, let me also say, if your kids are adults and have their own family, they still will never outgrow the need for encouraging words from their parents. You know, when I was young, my dad, I've shared this before, but when I was young, my dad was not a believer. And I would have to say that I do not remember him ever giving me an encouraging word. Now, I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying I don't remember. I don't remember an encouraging word. But when I turned 16, my dad stepped across the line of faith. And it was a life-changing experience. And from that time on, he tried to make up for lost time. And he continually talked to me about how proud he was. And you know, he, in the last 5 years of his life, was really sick. And it changed him in the sense that he wasn't very conversational anymore. He got very quiet and withdrawn. And yet every time I saw him, he died last March. And every time I would go over to see him, he might not say much that whole evening, but he always made a point to look up to me and say, Steve, I'm so proud of you. I'm in my 50s. And that still meant more than you can know. I mean, it's nice when other people tell you they're proud, but there's just something about a parent telling you that. And I'm just saying to you, your kids may be grown, but you still can have such an impact on their lives. I've mentioned this to you before, but I'm going to say it to you again. One of my all-time favorite books is called The Blessing by Gary Smalley. It's an older book now, but it's still as relevant today as it was back then. And I would encourage you, if you haven't read it, to read that book. I'm a reader. I've got hundreds of books in my library that I've read, and it's still my number one favorite book, The Blessing by Gary Smalley. Because it is a book that is all about how to give a blessing, to our kids by the words that we use. If you've not read it, I would encourage you to do so. Proverbs chapter 12, it says, rash language cuts and maims, but there is healing in the words of the wise. Harsh words hurt. I know some of you have heard that little poem, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Don't teach your kids that. That's the stupidest poem that's ever been written. Don't teach your kids that poem, because it's not true. There's nothing true about it. Words do hurt, and your kids are going to discover that. Encouraging words build them up, but painful words literally tear them down, and it's hurtful. Parents, we need to be careful. Let me tell you something else, parents. We need to be careful when we introduce our children to someone else that we don't give them their name with little descriptive phrases. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, well, this is little Johnny, and little Johnny's a little demon. He's a little terror. He's all over the place. We can't control him. Or this is Susie, and Susie's so shy, so she's not going to speak to you. She's not going to be friendly to you because she's just so shy. And so what are you doing? They're hearing everything you just said, and they're going to live up to your expectations. So if it's something you don't want in a child's life, you certainly don't want to label them with that. You don't want to tell other people about how horrible they are in front of them. You don't want to tell people how shy they are, and that's why they're rude and they won't speak, because they're just so, you don't want to say those things because they're going to try to live up to your expectation. Words are powerful. Now, I know some of you are saying, again, Steve, I got to tell you, it's just not me. I wasn't encouraged as a child, so I'm not an encourager. Parents, I know that this doesn't always, everything doesn't always come natural for you, but we have to be intentional about this stuff. We have to say, you know what, I'm going to make up my mind that I am going to be intentional. Try harder. Try to catch your kids doing things right and call them out on it. Because the more times, let me say it this way, let me back up. More times than not, if you were to put a recorder in your home, and this is true with me, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, it's just as true with me. If you put a recorder in our home and we just recorded the conversation that went on for a few days and then we listened to it back, we would probably be pretty disappointed in ourselves for the negative conversation that's going on. I mean, think about that. Here are the people that we say we love the most. Here are the people that we say are a priority in our life, that we say we would give our life for, and yet it's also the same people that we're disrespectful to. It's also the same people that we are short with, impatient with. It's the same people that we get, call them out on things that we wouldn't call a friend out. We wouldn't call anybody out. Why is it that we do that? Well, obviously, it's hard to live under the same roof day in and day out. And at times, people get tired, people get impatient. And we know all those things are true for every one of us. But still, it doesn't excuse the fact of what we're doing in our kids' lives. And that's why I think we need to step back and say, what environment am I creating in my home? Is it a positive environment? Is it an environment of encouragement? Or does it tend to get really negative all the time? Does it tend to be a downer all the time in our kids? And so we find ourselves saying things like, stop kicking the cat, pick up your socks. I'm not telling you again, take out the trash, get your shoes off the table. I'm going to tell you one last time, do your homework. Parents, no one wants to be around someone that's always on their case. So what happens is that you create this negative environment that makes your kids want to avoid you. So they go in their rooms and they shut their door and they stay in their rooms. Or they go to a friend's house and they never seem to be at home. Now, please hear me on this or you're going to misunderstand. I'm not saying that you don't ever correct your kids. You do. And we're going to talk about that in one of the points in the coming weeks. We're going to talk about discipline and the importance of discipline. But I'm just saying that you need to try to balance it out by calling out the good things that are going on in their life as well. Thanks for taking out the trash. You say, well, Steve, why would I thank them for taking out the trash? It's one of their roles. All of us have responsibility in the family. That's what they're expected to do. I know, but it's still good to encourage. You know what, ladies, men, it's good to encourage each other for the things that we're doing. It's good, ladies, for you to thank your husband sometimes for bringing home a paycheck maybe. And sir, it's good for you to thank your wife for fixing a meal or vice versa. Just to say thank you every once in a while. Well, the same thing is definitely true with our children. We need to look for things to encourage them. And yet, it shouldn't just be performance-oriented. It shouldn't just be performance encouragement. In other words, the only time I encourage them is if they do something right. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say that they're playing basketball and they miss a layup or they miss a free throw, and the game's over and your kids come back to you and you say, I love to watch you play basketball. And your son or your daughter says to you, Dad, I missed the free throws. And you say, you know, I know you missed the free throws, but you're not going to make every shot in life. No one ever does. But I love it because you love the game. And it shows to everybody else how much you love the game. Moms, dads, grandparents, whether your kids hit their shots in life or miss their shots in life, they still need to hear you say, I love you. They still need to hear you say, I am so proud of you. I am your biggest cheerleader. I am your biggest fan. Your encouraging words will help you to build these five character qualities or others into their life. For instance, let's say you say to them, I'm amazed how patient you were with your classmates. You know what you're doing? You're affirming character in them. Or maybe you say, I'm so proud of you for running the sweeper when you found out your mother wasn't feeling well. You're encouraging compassion in them. I'm so proud of the way you stood up for your beliefs in the report you did for class. You're encouraging their convictions. I want you to listen to what Jesus said about us using good words with our kids in Matthew 12. Jesus says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Friends, all good and healthy relationships are birthed from our heart. That's true with our friendships, that's true with our spouse, that's true with our kids. That's why God constantly draws our attention to the heart. Because the most important thing, the thing that God is most concerned with you, is your heart, the condition of your heart. You get your heart right with God, and it'll affect every relationship you're involved with. It'll affect your marriage, it'll affect the relationship with your kids, it'll affect your friendships. And when we allow Him to make those changes in us, it'll affect all of your friendships. In Ephesians chapter 5, He says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. So we're talking about 10 things that kids need from adults, 10 things that kid needs from their parents. Today, we talked about the five character qualities that you're going to send them out with. That's the end game in mind, that when they're 18 and they leave the house, you hope to see at least these five character qualities, maybe more, maybe others, but at least you've scoped it out, you've written it down, you know what it is you're looking for in your kids. Then we talked about the first three things that kids need from adults: strong belief, ongoing affection, and encouraging words. And the next 2 weeks, we'll cover the last seven. So I'm going to ask you now if you would just bow your heads with me for one moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think before you raise your hand on this. Think about it a minute. Don't raise your hands unless you really mean business with God, unless you really mean business. And that is, do you want to be a better parent? If that's you, I'm going to ask you, if you say yes, God, before God, I want to be a better parent, then I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and put it back down. Yeah. Father, we just come to you humbly. And we just pray, dear God, that you would help all of us to be the parents that you so desire us to be. God, we're so thankful that you've entrusted to us these children, these kids. And I pray, dear God, that we would not take it lightly. I pray, dear God, that we would not just blow it off, that, God, we would recognize that you've entrusted us with the greatest responsibility we could be entrusted with, the lives of our children. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to be found faithful. That God, in the weeks that we have them, that we would treat every week like it's the most important week of their life. That we would invest in each of our children. Lord, I thank you that you're patient and long-suffering. I thank you, God, that even though we all mess up, even though we all make mistakes, that you still help us to come back and love our kids the way you'd so desire for us to do. And so now, God, I pray that as we go out into a new week, that, Lord, this would be on our mind all week long. That this next week we would be thinking about this priority of parenting all week long, and that we would look for ways to be a better parent, look for ways that we could invest in the life of our child this week. Thanks, God. We love you and praise you. We just ask that you'd go with us now. In the name of Jesus, amen.